Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence. Your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at ML on WLXG. Ask questions or comments on what you'd like Matthew to talk about on the show. Today's show is sponsored by French Lick Resort, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Play Golf Lexington, and by Edwin Watts Golf. Let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Good morning. Welcome to this edition of Backspin Golf here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Have you noticed, Sean, because it's 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning, I try to modulate the tone of my voice? Nobody wants to hear some whack job guy at 8 o'clock. Well, I'm a whack job guy, but not a loud whack job guy at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday. As always, we have a great show lined up. Perry French, once again, joining me, not calling, joining me. And we have, it'll be a great discussion with him. And then our friend Jeff Babineau from Golf Week, who is one of my favorite people that we have on the show. We'll talk Tiger. Yeah, that's right, Tiger. Surgery, out 6 months. It's disheartening, but I am not giving up on him. Jeff and I will talk about that. Also, Wesley Bryan, who won the Hilton Head tournament last week. And he's the former trick shot guy. We'll talk about him. And then Mickey Gallagher, the Irish Junior Open guy that runs that whole series, and it is now it's all over the world. He's going to join us. We talked to him from Ireland last week. We'll talk to him from San Francisco this morning. Stick around right here. It's Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Now, joining Matthew on Backspin Golf is Perry French, PGA professional and territory manager of Srixon Cleveland Golf.
Hi, Perry French.
Morning, Matthew.
I don't usually do that on the show.
Like, no, just I mean, it's a bang, singing, hi, Perry. Singing intro.
I usually do some kind of something. Perry French.
It's so funny.
Cleveland Golf, Srixon Golf. I hear a phone. You're the busiest guy in the world. Turn that off. Thank you.
Okay, sorry about that.
All right. Unless it's somebody important.
Well, they're all important. They're my, you know, my friends or my customers, so one of the two. That's if,
good
if
point.
Not my, if they're not in there, they're
wait,
they're
let me
important.
Reword that. It's not about importance. It's, I don't know what it's about.
It's just time and space. You know?
Yes. And you're a busy guy. You're in it. You're
thankfully.
In it, right?
It's,
hey, it listen, is a good thing. Always.
And the golf season here, and that's always a fun thing. So it typically it comes in like this, comes in like a line. It's just we're waiting for it, and we had yep. a crazy March, which was after everybody was excited about golf in February. We knew what March was going to do, and that was
and
make us
it.
Wait. And here it is, the Masters, and it is really amazing the week after the Masters how the phone, how people are just now it's yeah. they're out, and and that's what's great. It does fire people up. They see it on TV. They're watching it, even the casual golfer, and it just gets everybody. And us as core golfers would love the game, but just go, oh my gosh, okay, it's time. Yeah. I gotta work
now.
On
we're
my
ready.
Game. Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about. We touched on it last week briefly. About some things around the green and this short game, because not only are you the best pro in America, don't let like Justin Mullinex or any of these guys here, any of here you I'm that here. Are listening, yeah. I'm just kidding. I don't really mean it. but with our Cleveland wedges,
right.
It makes it even better around the green. So help me. To help my people.
Yes. Yeah.
Talk to me about. Today we're going to talk about things like the handle position, the
right.
grip position,
correct.
Your all that stuff.
Right.
So.
I think we talked about briefly was how that players struggle with them when the lie changes because they start altering what they do. And that's
right.
one thing that you see the best players in the world. They don't. They make adjustments in their approach to the shot, but their stance and their setup all are very much the same as mm-hmm. far as weight. I think that's one of the big things that the best players in the world do is they maintain that weight position leading to the lead side or the left for most.
Right.
And they maintain that throughout. When players get in the bunker, and certainly one of the things I want to talk about is about fairway bunkers and that mid-range and long-range fairway bunker. is players do two things wrong. They try to shift weight, which is not very possible to do without losing your feet. If you've been in the bunker and you go to hit a bunker shot and your back foot gives out,
you're done.
You're going to hit behind it. And why? Because you're trying to shift weight. The key thing in that bunker shot there is you get a little wider than normal stance. And remember, you're going to put your feet in there. So you're basically lowering your body positions relative to the soil surface, the sand surface. So either do two things. Choke down is one. And a lot of players choke down and take an extra club. So if you're taking a full swing 150 club, let's say it's your 7-iron, you're best to take and choke down on your 6-iron. And play that for that, because you're not going to get much weight shift. It's a pretty much an arm shoulder rotation and swing creating the power, and then the only force you're going to get is that when you finish the swing, you'll have weight off of your off into your left side, your lead side. So most players make the mistake. They start with your weight 60% on your left or your lead side, and do not shift off. Don't shift weight back to your right leg. Keep the weight 60% all the way through as you're taking your arms back and creating that backswing relative to the shot. If it's a 40-yard shot, we still want to strike the ball first.
Right.
And then the sand second. That's when you've hit that cross bunker and you're 40 yards from the green. You're using a pitching wedge or sand wedge or a gap wedge. Again, those are player choices. I prefer to use the gap wedge just because of the mid loft. It's about 50 degrees for most players, maybe 52. And that will give you the distance you need to hit it, because again, you're going to lose some distance just because of the fact that you're keeping your body more still in the lower part of the swing.
Right.
So, and we're talking full swing, 7-iron from 150 yards is now a 6-iron choke down. We're going to create that momentum and the swing through, the strike of the ball and then the release, your weight will come in to where you have 75 to 80% of your weight in your left side. But again, it's because you're swinging around your lead side, not trying to push off from your backside. That's the big mistake a lot of players make.
And, you know, again, and in watching the Masters or Hilton Head,
any
of these tournaments,
it doesn't change.
When you see the best players in the world in a fairway bunker, and they're looking at shot and they're talking to Fluff or they're talking to, you know, Michael Greller or whoever they're talking to, and they have 178 yards to the hole, and it's just another shot. We all freak out in there, and for most of us, we're pitching out of a fairway bunker, and we're doing which is okay.
Well, again, that you're right. And part of that, if you're in a fairway bunker that has a pretty significant lip, you're better off.
Getting
the ball to the fairway and not trying to hit a shot onto the green. There's certainly a the ball that hits the face of that bunker, the lip, and comes back at you is the misplay that most amateurs make.
Is the ball that at the end of that hole gets thrown into the water?
Yeah,
unless it's a Strixon ball.
Well,
those are valuable. I'm not throwing any into the water.
But I think to your point, that's exactly right. They look at it as a typical shot. Now, sometimes because of the condition, they'll have to take their medicine and put it out to the fairway and, you know, and make the play, because again, you don't want to do that.
Right.
That.
But again, like just chipping, and we talk about this too, it's a matter of confidence and a matter of practice. So how many of us practice long bunker? We barely practice the stuff around the green.
Right. You don't get a chance to practice. There's not a lot of facilities, unfortunately, that have a practice bunker where you can actually hit full swing shots. I can promise you, though, that if you practice hitting shots off the turf from 40 yards, 50 yards, and keep your weight on your left side and simulate that, you will be practicing
that
shot.
Yeah, and
because again, you're still trying to hit the ball first. What if the ball's in the heavy rough condition? You know, that's another thing too. Same things apply.
Right.
You can't get caught shifting your weight too much to the back leg, because you bring too much grass into play and you hit it heavy and the ball.
Right.
It goes 60, 70% of the distance. So you can still practice it in even in just the best lie of a tee line.
Right.
But it's how you set your weight up, position the ball, you know, slightly forward of center, and practice keeping your lower body quiet. That's a trick in itself. Greenside bunker shots, that's where if you watch the players, they're not trying to move any weight. They're really settling their lower body in position. They're holding that position, and they're making that arm swing and creating that rotation and swinging through the shot. Yes, will they come off and through the shot, and maybe their back leg and right leg releases? Occasionally, but a lot of times it's still sitting right there in its position where it's on the sand.
Right.
It's not pushed. Hips have turned out. Arms have followed through. They're facing the target, but that lower body, that lower leg is still in position. So why, I stress this a lot. I talk to people. And I say, watch what the best players in the world do. They spend 2.5 hours a day on average working on their short game.
Right.
I tell this story all the time at wedge clinics. Jordan Spieth at the U.S. Open 2 years ago, when he won, he literally hit 119 warm-up shots. Guy Dialog was doing did a report on him. Was Dialog
right.
119 shots? He hit 92 shots with a wedge of some sort. He never
out of 119.
Yeah, warming up. Why? He's getting ready to play. He doesn't need to figure out 14 drivers. He's trying to conserve energy, but he's also trying to dial in those different shots he knows he's going to have.
Right.
And he's working on how to get that set of weight and balance and create those shots that he knows are going to be super important to him. And he's just continue to reinforce what he already knows, but just to get that sense of feel for the day. That's why it's different from day to day. Your sense of feel, your hands, sometimes your grip pressure is a little too tight. Watch that too. That's one of the things I think a lot of players struggle with pitches, bunker shots, is they start gripping it too tight when they start.
Or putting.
Putting's
or,
the same
I mean,
way.
Grip pressure, yeah. You know, it's interesting you bring this up. You always do bring interesting things up, but that's something nobody ever talks about.
Grip pressure is
really
huge. You know, you have to, and I don't want to say you grip it so light, but if you talk to all the best players in the world, they talk about having, they'll say light. Now, their definition of light
may be different than
correct.
Ours. Yeah.
But if you're conscious about that, what that means is it's allowing the club to get some flow, and the pressure that they're taking is that the little muscles, the hand mm-hmm. muscles, aren't going to lead the motion. That's
right.
Where you don't get too wristy on the takeaway. Get your arms swinging, get your shoulders turning, get your rotation mm-hmm. going. That's why the grip pressure is important. You will increase your grip pressure on the downswing relative to the shot you're trying to hit.
And you can't help that. That's,
no, that's a natural
It's natural,
motion.
But it's also physics. It's
right.
Centrifugal force.
Right. I mean. So don't, but think about it. If you grip it tight in your starting position, where do you got to go? You've got no place to go.
The huge muscles in your forearms,
yeah,
which are Paul Bunyan-esque, you're just showing me right now, yeah, you tightened your hand,
yeah,
muscles, and your forearm muscles are bulging. You can't make a good swing like that.
Listen, it's something that I struggle with, quite frankly. I get
you?
A little too handsy at times. I have to be very conscious of my grip pressure. But, you know, Palmer had big forearms. From my hockey days, I had big, you know, that's,
yep,
relatively speaking, just because I trained that way. I did a lot of wrist and arm curls. So,
right.
And that's, it helps me in a lot of conditions, mm-hmm, but also it hurts me. But so I think grip pressure is just a fact of the game that players have to find out what is that great grip pressure. And I tell you, a lot of guys, when they warm up, that's what they're really working on, is how that club feels in their hand that day.
And
striking that ball.
Who was it? Hogan? The famous statement about you got to grip it like you're holding a bird.
That was Sam Snead.
Sam Snead.
The bird, yeah.
Yeah,
or, you know, don't squeeze out the tube of the toothpaste. Don't squeeze out the toothpaste. You know, get it. Keep it quiet.
Oh,
you know,
I haven't heard that.
That's a little more, so you can see that if you squeeze
right.
it. And, you know, again, pressure is relative. You have to find your own level of grip pressure. Talking about shots around the green, one of the things that's real important is the handle, the grip position.
Yes.
A lot of players make the mistake of getting their hands too far forward.
I do that many
this
times.
This does two things. It de-lofts your club, which means you're going to have more impact loft, and you're going to create probably a more distance. It also decreases your bounce and puts the leading edge more into play for the old chunk shot.
Yes.
Okay, so we want to keep the hands neutral for most all swings, meaning the hands are even with the golf ball, the grip, and the like, on a standard position,
mm-hmm,
where we're just trying to create the natural loft of the club and not trying to do anything. If, in fact, we have the ball with a longer shot and we were maybe uphill, then slightly forward to create that descending impact and deal off to get,
right,
to get that proper spin or proper release. For loft, when you're trying to hit the ball over the bunker, set your hands back. Push them back behind the ball, move the ball forward.
So you're increasing the loft.
Add loft, you're adding bounce, and you're getting that club to slide. If the ball's up in a nice fluffy lie, a lot of people miss that shot because they hit it too far because it's a flush shot. Get your hands back slightly behind the ball. Be conscious of your weight position and your hand position based on the shot that you're trying to play.
Right.
Those two things are going to be real important on what the initial trajectory of the ball is and how fast it comes out to the shot you're,
yeah,
trying to hit. Again, keep it neutral. It's always probably the safest way to go. If you're looking for loft, lower the hands. If you're looking for a little bit more of that distance and you got a clean lie, go ahead
hands
and put your hands
a little bit
forward to get that crisper impact.
Okay. I'm ready.
All right.
I'm ready.
Let's go
now.
Work. Go play.
Thanks, Perry.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by French Lick Resort. Visit them online at FrenchLick.com.
Well, once again, joining us here on Backspin Golf is Jeff Babineau from Golf Week. And I told him right before we started doing this that I'm not calling him anymore because I want him on the show every week. I actually would like if he would be here in the studio with me and co-host the show, but that ain't happening because he's a big-time guy and he's going to New Orleans next week and he's been, you know, the Masters. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing fine.
Yeah. All right. This will last, I don't know, 2 weeks until I send you the next text.
Yeah, that's all right. You'll send your private plane for me and we'll do it in studio next time.
Okay. Done, pal. Done. All right. Let's talk a little bit about Tiger. The news came out. I also have a question because I'm a little confused about something.
Okay.
See if you can help me. So
right.
For those listening that haven't heard, which if you're listening, you're a golf fan, so you've heard. But Tiger had a fourth back surgery, I guess, in the last 3 years. But Tuesday, he was at Payne's Valley, his first public golf course design. And didn't I see him hitting balls with a kid on a patch of grass that will be the driving range or something?
You saw him hitting balls on a par three. I think he hit at least two. He
yeah.
dunked one in the water, so he's not very good at course openings.
Yeah.
he put a few down the bank at Congressional, too. But
yeah.
And then he hit a second one on close. And it's funny, he was asked about his health that day, and his initial line was that his back is progressing. Then he said he has good days and bad, That's all I'm going to say on it. Got to cut it short. But
yeah. And then the
next
day.
Away from surgery.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what was he progressing toward? I just sometimes wonder about, you know, why he can't be more honest with everything, you know. And those of us who I've covered him since he was an amateur, winning U.S. Amateurs, and back to the days he was winning a U.S. Junior in Orlando. And
yeah.
I just, you know, if he's undergoing surgery on Wednesday. I mean, I don't know if he didn't want that to overshadow the course announcement on Tuesday. I don't know, but it's just one of those things that leaves you shaking your head.
Yeah, that was the curious part, was that he did that, and then the next day he had his surgery. And obviously, if you're, you know, we've talked enough. I'm a huge Tiger fan. I always have been. It's going to be at least 6 months, he says, before anything, you know, he can start to even practice probably or anything like that. But I'm getting hammered by people who I still claim he can win a major. Am I insane?
No, I've been close to your camp. I've kind of hedged it now to say he'll win again. I don't know about a major. but I'm with you. I always thought, here's why. I mean, having known this guy, watch him operate, I've always thought he is so, the thing that would push him across the line is that he is so stubborn.
Yeah.
He is stubborn, man, and he's a competitor. And he's got all these people right now going on air and writing stuff that he's done. And that drives him. You know, I remember once, you know, Tiger has said a million times in press conferences, he doesn't read anything, this and that. Hank Haney once told us he reads everything. So he keeps up on what's going on and who's doing what. And that stuff pushes him. So I've always maintained he's going to find a window where he's healthy enough to play well enough and be around on probably a major Sunday, maybe a Masters Sunday, something like that, where he has great knowledge of the golf course and push himself through. And now I don't know about the major part. We're going to go on a decade here pretty soon on the major part of it.
Isn't that
but
unbelievable?
The tournament, I think I still think he can win again, but he just. Each one of these announcements we get puts him further and further away.
Yeah, and that's the sad part. I mean, I've said this before. I don't want him to be Joe Namath in a Rams uniform. You know, I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me, after what he's done, would be absolutely horrible. And I think that holds true for a lot of us. So we just hang around. And so at least for the next 6 months, I can have this argument with people about whether he's going to win again. And that's kind of fun because I'm pretty stubborn that way.
Yeah, you're getting more alone on your island, though, as time goes, probably.
That's all right. You know, the older I get, the more I want to be alone on my island. I'll tell you the truth.
We all do.
All right. Let's talk. Let's switch gears for a minute to Hilton Head last week, which I've said this before, too. You've been at a lot. You've played on a lot of golf courses where PGA events are held, obviously. And I've been lucky enough to do that, too. And Harbortown is one of my favorite tournaments because I've played there a bunch of times. And every time somebody's in a particular place or they're hitting a shot, you've done that, and it makes it even more fun to watch. So I always love that tournament. But Wesley Bryan, I've been following the Bryan brothers. And again, for those listening, if you haven't seen the trick shots that the Bryan brothers do, just go to YouTube or Google it. This guy, from out of nowhere, from doing trick shots online to winning three Web.com events last year to get his card, and now pretty quickly winning a PGA event, it's just an unbelievable story.
Yeah, it is a good story. He's been a good player for a long time. It's funny. I think we kind of label players, you know. Jordan Spieth's the putter, and Dustin Johnson's he's kind of the old Western outlaw.
Right.
Wesley Bryan's our trick shot artist, right?
Yeah.
He's the trick shot guy.
Yep.
But he's got a lot of game. He's had a lot of game for a long time. I mean, at Golf Week, we had Wesley and his brother, George the Fourth, who were taught by their dad, George the Third, do an instructional piece because they were great players. I remember they were in Orlando. They did an instructional piece with us, the brothers and the dad there in South Carolina at the time. And I think at the time, I want to say George the Fourth was probably the kid who was going to be probably the breakthrough star.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, you know, little brother kind of overtook him. And but he's got a lot of game, you know, so the trick shots are really cool. But anyone who can win three times on the web.com tour, which is not easy to win out there, win three times in a season and get the promotion that he did, it's a special feat. So you knew he was going out there with something. I was there at Sea Island when he made his tour debut, and he was ready to, or he had played a few, I guess, but he was ready to go, you know, and there's no fear in these guys, and they're ready to win right from the get-go.
You know, it's also interesting to me, speaking with Jeff Babineau of Golf Week, it's interesting to me that he was the first South Carolina native to win the Heritage. In 49 years, I think it was, the first one. That's a pretty interesting stat, too.
Yeah, it's pretty good. You know, Kevin Kisner had given it a great run. And, you know, being an Aiken kid, he was hoping it was him. You know, Wesley Bryan, it's really neat. 49 years, being the first South Carolina guy, it means a lot there. And, you know, he lives in a little town called Augusta. So
he
gets him in another little tournament next spring. And, boy, I bet he already can't wait for that.
That's why it was great watching him after the victory, because he was still, you know, and his press conference was great, and they were asking him questions, you know, and how did you do that? And he basically said, I have no idea. I don't know how I did that.
Yeah.
I have no idea, and that's kind of refreshing also. In the couple minutes we have left, because it's been so long since I've spoken to you, biggest impression from the Masters, obviously Sergio is, you know, the big impression, but what else? It was fantastic.
It was great. It was great theater. I mean, that place always delivers, doesn't it?
Yep.
It's unreal. And to me, the biggest thing I walked away with wasn't so surprised that Sergio won, because he's always had so much game and he drives it so well.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought he'd win a U.S. Open or certainly contend more than he has.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest takeaway for me was, at what point did this switch get flipped and he became this huge fan favorite?
Yeah.
I've watched this guy play in hundreds of golf tournaments, and never has he been a big fan favorite. It's always been tough over here. You kind of sometimes felt for him with the cat calls, some of the stuff he hears. And all of a sudden, at Augusta National, you know, they thought somebody did something big on the 18th green. When he and Justin Rose were on 16, they thought someone must have holed a long shot or something, and actually was the roar when they put up his eagle on the scoreboard at 18. So that, to me, just it amazed me. I guess it finally hit people that this guy's been really good for a long, long time. The reason he's been there so much for all these heartbreaks is because he's really good.
Right.
And he's paid his dues, and this was his time. So that, to me, was my biggest takeaway from there.
You know, on our show, Matthew and Mikey every day, Mikey, who is – he's not a golfer. He played, you know, a long time ago, but he's followed it more, I think, since we've been doing the show together, and he does enjoy majors, and he can't stand Sergio. So I've been arguing with him the whole time, and – you know, I hate him. I've always hated him. He was a whiny little baby. He was, and it makes for good radio. But you know, I'm really happy for him. I'm glad that whole best golfer to never win a major, I think, is just ridiculous. It's like saying Lee Westwood isn't good. You know?
Yeah, it's tough. It's kind of the old backhanded compliment, right?
Yeah.
So I think players have learned to take it as a compliment. It means you're seen as being so good that we're kind of surprised you don't have a major.
Right.
and as long as Westwood was playing, I always had him ahead of Sergio, honestly. I mean, everyone puts it on Sergio, but he was heads above, just as Dustin Johnson was before he broke through. So, it's good to see him get it. I mean, maybe this will free him up. We want to think you're going to win a bunch of these. The reality is you win a major, I think 80% of the guys win one.
Right.
So it's really hard to win at multiple majors. But I tell you what, he hits it so well. If he can have a little, average to a little above average putting week on a tough golf course, he certainly can win again.
All right, real quickly, here's the question. In my office now is a guy from Ireland that I'm working with. He's wonderful. And he, I told him I was going to be speaking to you today. He said, I have a question for him. He said, why is it that so many foreign golfers come to the United States to attend college before they go out on tour? People all over the world now, golfers are coming to play in the States in college instead of staying in their home country to develop their game. Is there a reason that you can think of quickly?
Well, I mean, it's great. I think they look at the pattern of success of people who have gone before them, you know. Not all do. I mean, some choose to turn pro early and do it that way, but some guys, you know, when you think of your friends from Ireland, you think of Graham McDowell showing up from Northern Ireland,
and going to UAB,
the University of Alabama, Birmingham,
right?
I mean, fish out of water, right?
Yeah,
and it was a great experience for him. He you know, he's gonna play good golf courses, he's gonna train, he's gonna learn, you know, life in America if one day they want to play on the PGA Tour.
Yep,
so it's such a very good training. I mean, there are entire rosters of teams, college teams, that are made up of foreign players. So it's been happening for a long time. I just think it's a formula that kind of works. I mean, it's not for everybody. You know, Darren Clark was here for a handful of days at Wake Forest, you know, and was gone. But it doesn't work for everybody, but it works for some. And some of these guys see that and want to try it.
All right. Well, that's good. When he listens to the show, he'll get his answer. You're the best, man. I can't thank you enough. And I always really look forward to talking to you. It'd be great to actually sit down with you someday soon.
Well, the tall beer. I did run into your brother at the Masters.
I know.
Asking about your whereabouts, but you're a no-show at Augusta.
Yeah, well, he didn't tell you that he's been going for years. Have I ever gotten a, hey, why don't you come with me? No. That's my brother. He sucks. All right, man. We'll see you. Thanks a million.
All right. You got it.
All right.
We're doing one.
See ya.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their five public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play golf, Lexington.
Well, you know, on Facebook now, they show you these memories. Every day, a memory from, you know, at least a year ago comes up. And it's funny because right around this time, about a year ago, I interviewed Michael Gallagher. He was in Ireland at the time, and we did it through Skype that time. This time, I'm going to talk to him on this Facebook thing. I don't know how any of this works. Michael Gallagher, who has become a good friend, who runs the Irish Junior Open Series. He's the UK and Ireland Junior Golf Coach and PGA Assistant Pro of the Year. and he's the PGA head pro at Clandeboy Golf Club in Ireland, and he's in San Francisco this morning after having just been to Pebble Beach. My good friend Mickey, good morning.
Morning, Matthew. How you keeping?
I'm keeping good, and it's so great to have you again with us. And after the success, and it was a fantastic success last year of the Irish Junior Open Series, we just launched this year's edition, and so it's a good time to catch up with you and see how things are going with you.
Yeah, things are going amazing. Just launched the events about 3 weeks ago, and on the first day, I had more entries on the first day than I did in the total of the first year combined, which was amazing. Flow Gas, who's an energy company in Ireland, they've gotten on board as the main sponsor this year, and with a number of other sponsors, we hope to become the second largest junior golf series in Europe inside just 3 years, so I'm extremely ecstatic about that. We also are supporting this year Hope for ME, which is a local charity in Ireland, so we're covering all aspects and also providing junior golf events throughout Ireland and this year into Spain, which I thought after doing Ireland for a couple of years, I thought, let's ramp this up a wee bit and try and see how things go outside of Ireland and see if we can make a success of the Irish Junior Open Series outside of Ireland. So, as I say, so far it's been going amazing, and with the likes of yourself and other TV and advertising platforms, it's really helped spread the word across the world. And just recently, along with everything that's been happening, I've got one of the greatest golfers of all time, Mr. Gary Player, on board as a global ambassador for the series. He's kindly allowed me to call the overall junior golfer of the year. He's allowed me to bestow the honor of winning the Gary Player Trophy.
Yeah.
So I'm extremely grateful for everybody and for their support. But yeah, things are going good, and I look forward to seeing how this year pans out.
You know, just sitting here and listening to you after we spoke a year ago, and I think when we spoke, even though it was coming up, we knew it was going to be successful. But as you say, I'm not sure any of us saw the explosion of what this is. But I was explaining it to a friend of mine who just joined us at our company here, and he's Irish. And I was talking to him about you and that we were going to be speaking this morning. And I found myself almost getting choked up a little bit when talking about the kids. And Sean Ryan, for example, who won that overall title last year, who, again, I've never met, or he or his dad, Jimmy, but I feel such a closeness to the two of them because I met them through you, and we've stayed in touch on Twitter and Facebook and different things. What you do for kids in terms of golf, but in terms of their growing up, is something that I don't think can really be measured. And it's, you know, it's an amazing thing you're doing, Mickey. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. No, thanks very much for that, Matthew. I get a great pleasure out of helping out the future stars of golf in Ireland and beyond. You know, like this year, I've already had a number of ones from Dubai signed up for the series. I've had emails from, like, I could name you countries that some of the countries I've never even heard of before, but like the global reach of this series now is phenomenal. Like last year, as I was talking about, the media impressions across the world, and this is being conservative, was 20 million, which in 3 years, like I never, like this only started out as a one-day golf event.
Yeah.
I never imagined that going to the States is going now. Like when you have, as I say, Gary Player as your sort of global ambassador, it's unbelievable. And, you know, like seeing the joy in the faces of the kids, in particular, you mentioned Sean Ryan, who was our champion golfer of the year last year. You know, like seeing the joy in the faces of the kids coming to the events, and you know, like some as young as 5 and 6.
Mm.
It makes all the hard work worthwhile, and it's great that I can, you know, it's great that I can be a part of it, and you know, ideally I would like that to be my sort of legacy as
yep.
such, that I, you know, provided golf events for, you know, the future stars and for all the golfers of Ireland and beyond that they could shine on, and hopefully one day go on and do big things on the world stage and feel that my events were a springboard to future success for them.
You know, and we all know golf is one of the reasons we love the game so much is the connection between generations. And when a kid goes to a golf course with his dad or his mom or their daughter goes with one of their parents. You know, I grew up in New York and we didn't play golf growing up. We played football and basketball and baseball. We used to beat guys up that played golf. We thought they were soft in New York.
Yeah.
And I would have given anything to be able to start at the age like my two boys. We started them, you know, playing a little bit. I would have given anything to start that young. And as I said, to see somebody like Sean Ryan, Jimmy posted pictures of – how old is Sean now? 10?
Sean's 10.
There, he put pictures up of Sean's swing at different stages of the swing, and I showed it to a friend of mine in L.A. who is a teaching pro who has worked with some pretty big people, and he – there's a picture of Sean at the top of his swing. And Ron said, that's better than some of the PGA guys I work with. And he's 10. And that's all. He came to light because of you. I mean, he's obviously talented and he might have done things, but this has been such an incredible thing for him.
I spent a day with Sean. Like, obviously he won my series and I seen him playing in some of the events, but I spent a day with Sean and Jimmy, two lovely guys. I get on well with them.
Mm-hmm.
I spent a day with them in September at a golf event, and like Sean was standing on a par 3 the whole day, just hitting shots against like bottles, like, you know, he was just standing. It was a beat the Irish Junior Open Series champion day. So he was standing there hitting these shots in all day, and I was standing behind him, and I'm like, as a PGA professional, I know what I'm looking for in the golf swing.
Right.
I'm like, I'm standing there, and I'm just thinking to myself, this kid is absolutely world class. He's the best. Like I say, I don't say this lightly. I've seen thousands upon thousands of kids and a lot of talented kids.
Mm-hmm.
And like Sean Ryan is by far and away the best I've ever seen. He's
wow.
absolutely amazing.
Wow.
If that kid doesn't make it, I honestly don't know who won't make it, because he's, and I would love to see him do well, because he is a really genuinely, comes from a good family and
mm-hmm.
he's a good guy and his dad's a good guy. And but you know what you were saying there about the game of golf, that's the thing. That's, you know, it's been a good game for me. It's taught me a lot of good valuable life lessons, and I feel it's a great game for a lot of kids to get involved with, irrespective of their talent range.
Yep.
You know, it teaches a lot of life lessons, and you know, trust, integrity, honesty, you know, and it's a great game, you know, it's a great game for to make connections.
Yes.
You know, so like yourself there, I've made a connection with you on the other side of the world,
mm-hmm.
and made a connection with a lot of people from all over the world throughout my time in the golf game.
Yep.
You know, it is a game that touches a lot of areas, and it's a game, you know, that I obviously, what I do, I feel very passionate towards.
Yeah. All right, we only got a couple minutes left, but real quickly, I mentioned to you that I played the other day, and I missed on the front side 4 5-foot putts, and I don't usually mm-hmm. do that. And you said you had a little drill for me. Why don't you tell us what that drill is?
It's a very, very simple drill that I teach to a lot of my clients.
Mm-hmm.
Using the drill sticks that a lot of people would be familiar with, seeing
yes.
them in their and the Tour Stars bags, using the drill sticks, set them just like a wee track that if you've ever been bowling before, you'll see they put the bumpers up there for the young kids. If you put the drill sticks on either side of the hole and practice for 5 minutes just before you go out, keep the ball at the end of the drill sticks. What it does is it trains your mind to focus on the target, and also even if you hit a bad putt, the ball's still going to go into the hole provided you've hit it at the right speed. The ball's still going to go into the hole. So not only that, in the back of your mind, you're seeing all the balls rolling into the hole, so you're gaining confidence from a short distance.
It's a great idea.
And also you're seeing the balls. It's a very simple, very, very simple drill. And for somebody who does miss a lot of short putts, it is a good idea. Just 5 minutes, it's not asking a lot. Come
great
up 5
idea.
Minutes earlier before your game and just, hit 30 or 40 putts into the hole. And it gives you the speed of the greens. And, it's a very simple drill to focus your mind
perfect.
On the hole and gain confidence.
Perfect. All right, here's what I am on my bucket list. I will be with you in Ireland to hang out. You're one of my favorite people, and I'm so
Thanks
glad.
Very much, Marty.
I'm so glad we could spend a few minutes this morning, and I'll keep everybody updated on what's going on with the Irish Junior Open Series and tell them how they can follow you along.
You're welcome, Matthew. I really appreciate all you've done for the series, and thanks for being a great friend.
Okay. I'll talk to you soon, Mickey. Take care.
Thanks very much, Matthew.
All right. Cheers. That'll do it for this edition of Backspin Golf. What a fantastic experience for me to be able to talk to people like Perry French and Jeff Babineau from Golf Week, and of course, Michael Gallagher, or Mickey, as he's known. If you want to see what's going on, and you should, it's fascinating, follow along, irishjunioropen.com, or you can follow Mickey on Twitter, at MickeyGPGA, and also at Irish Junior Open, you can follow on Twitter. As we talked about, this kid, Sean Ryan, if you go to the irishjunioropen.com website and check out Sean Ryan, you'll see what I meant. But thanks to all of them for joining me today. And of course, as always, thanks to our partners, French Lick Resort. I am going up there very soon. I'm going to play the two courses, but that resort it's my favorite. Edwin Watts Golf, I was in there the other day. I bought some shirts and actually a new putter, and they have great stuff, and they're wonderful people over there. Go see them at Edwin Watts Golf. And, of course, Lexington Parks and Rec. My home course, Kearney Hill, Justin Molnix, my guy. But all of the public courses we have in Lexington, thanks to them. Have a great week. We'll talk to you all next week at 8:03 right here on Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf.